Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. World of Faith Outreach Ministry, Pastor Kimberly Boss, amen. Bishop Kevin Boss, located 5370 Stokes Ferry Road. I am free. Praise the Lord, I'm free. No longer bound. No more chains holding me. My soul is resting. It's just a blessing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm free. I am free. Praise the Lord, I'm free, no longer bound, no more chains holding me, my soul is resting, it's just a blessing, praise the Lord, hallelujah, I'm free. Yes, I am free. Praise the Lord, I'm free. No longer bound. No more chains holding me. My soul is resting. It's just a blessing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, I'm free. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, I'm free. Amen. Good morning to all those that are listening. Amen. Out there on the radio blog for World of Faith Outreach Ministry. Amen. Blessings on you. Amen. Amen. I pray that God, amen, will fill your ears with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Amen. That your hearts be open. Amen. Unto his will. That you may know his perfect will for you. Amen. And that your faith, amen, be justified through him. Amen. Glory be to God. For those just tuned in, we're coming from the book of James, the first chapter. The book of James, the first chapter. And we're going to start at the first verse. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Amen. The book of James. Amen. First chapter. Amen. The first verse. Amen. Thanks to those who just tuned in. We're coming from the book of James. And it reads the second verse. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Now, divers temptations is different types of temptations that you fall in. That's what divers temptations mean. He said, count it all joy. Amen. And that's what we're supposed to do. Amen. We're supposed to be rejoiced because this is supposed to bring growth. Your trials are supposed to bring growth to you in Christ. It says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. See, God is trying your faith. And your faith is supposed to work for patience. That means you wait. You know, God says, you know what, if the vision tarry, wait on it. And sometimes we got to wait on God. We want to fix things ourselves. We want to hurry God up because we want it our way. We want it done right then, right there. We want it done, you know, when we say we want it done. But you know what, God be allowing our faith to be tried. Amen. To bring forth some patience in our life. He said, don't be anxious for nothing. Amen. It says the fourth verse, James 1st chapter, those just tuned in, fourth verse. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. See, if you let patience have its perfect work, you will be complete. Entire means to be complete. And you won't be wanting nothing. You won't be able to want for anything in God because you let patience have its perfect way in you. That means you're waiting on God. You know, whatever state that you're in, Paul said he was content in whatever state he was in. That means you had to be patient and let God be God. Amen. A lot of times, like I said, we want to do God's work for him, or we want to go and do something and act like it seems like it's God, but it's not God when it's we ourselves. Remember, the Bible says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. But we have not made ourselves, but it's he that made us. So we got to be patient and wait on God. He said, if you wait on him, he'll renew your strength. He'll mount you up like an eagle with wings. So we got to wait on God when we need our strength to be renewed. Because sometimes we get weak when we're going through our trials and our tribulations and our temptations, you know. And so we got to begin to let patience come in and have a perfect way. Amen. Those just tuned in with James, the first chapter. Amen. Now we're at the fifth verse. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that give of all men liberally and upbraid him not, and it shall be given him. He said, now, if you lack wisdom, he said, ask God. He gives to everybody freely. There's no price when God gives you his wisdom. He said, he's afraid of not. He don't hold back his wisdom from you. He said that he'll give it to you. Remember, he said he give every man a measure of faith. Amen. You know, a lot of times God give us our measure of faith, but we don't do nothing with it. The Bible said that our faith, you know, we have to use our faith so it can grow. Amen. And, you know, that means you start planting things, you know, and planting things spiritual. That means you start believing things, amen, and trusting in God so that you can grow, amen. Look at the sixth verse, James 1st chapter 6 verse. It says, but let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavers like a wave of the sea and driveth the wind and toss. He said, now, if you can't be patient and not wait, he said, you're wavering. That means you're up and down. You know, he said, ask in faith. You know, the Bible said, when you come to him, you must come to him, and you must believe, you know, and knowing that he is, amen. And another thing you got to have is forgiveness. When you come in there, you ask God for something. And, you know, he said, you're like the wave of the sea that drills the wind and it's tossed. That means don't nobody know what you're going to do. One minute you believe, one minute you don't believe, you know. One minute you have faith, the next minute you don't have faith. The Bible said, when it's not faith, it is sin. Those just tuned in James 1st chapter, we're now at the 7th verse. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And God said, let not that man receive anything from God. You want to be wavering? You want to believe God when you want to? The Bible said, trust in the Lord and do good, and verily thou shalt be fed. He even told us in the time of famine that we shall be satisfied. Don't you know, David said, I was young, but now I'm old. I've never seen the hands of the righteous forsaken, nor is she making bread. These are things that our forefathers left us. These are legacy words that they left us to go by and to abide in, that God is not going to leave us nor forsake us. He said, no, I'll be with you even to the end of the world. You know, God's not going to forsake his people, amen. We forsake God. If anybody has forsaken God or left God, it be us. We leave God when we abandon our faith and we do other things. When we don't believe God, we abandon our faith. When we don't do what's right and trust God, we abandon our faith. God don't never abandon faith because he is faith. Amen. He is the word. Amen. He is the living word. He's the blessed redeemer. Amen. He's the wonderful counselor, the prince of peace. Amen. He's the great I am. Glory be to God. He's a rose of Sharon. Amen. You know, God, he can be whatever you want him to be, whatever you need him to be. Amen. He said, when your mother father forsake you, he said, the Lord will take you up. Amen. That's why we got to trust God. Amen. That's why we got to put God first. Amen. You know, he said, don't let none separate you from the love of God. He said, whether it be trials, it be tests, amen, whatever, whether it be family, whether it be friends, whether it be our children, our grandchildren, whether it be our jobs, our money, our homes, you know, whatever, amen. He said, don't let nothing separate you from the love of God. Let me tell you something. We're going to have so much love of God, we got to be like what Job told his wife. When she told Job, she said, you ought to curse your God and die. See, when Job was going through all these things, amen, he lost everything he had, amen. But God allowed one person to come back to tell him that everything that he had been destroyed. And Job still held his integrity. He said, though he slay me, yet shall I trust him. Job felt like, even though I feel like I'm being killed, I feel like I'm being slaughtered, I feel like everything's been taken away from me, amen, he said, you know, I'm still going to trust God. And see, we don't do that. When things begin to happen in our lives, we want to let go. We want to turn our back on God. We want to say, well, God don't love me no more, and I don't want to be in this no more. Why did God allow this? What kind of God would allow me to go through this or this happen? Amen. Let me tell you something. The Bible said all things are working together for the good to them that love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. He just told you in the book of James, the first chapter, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. For knowing that this is a trying of your faith, and faith works of patience. God is trying to get us to have some patience in our life. We need to wait on God, amen. Glory be to God. We need to wait on God to strengthen us, amen. We need to wait on God, amen, when we feel like, amen, that all hell, amen, has come upon us, amen. We still need to wait on God. Job didn't turn his back on God, and the very woman, amen, that he laid with, he slept with, amen, should have been by his side, that should have knew God just like he knew God. She said, well, Job, you know what? You ought to just curse your God and die. She began to even doubt God. She began to even separate herself and act like God wasn't her God no more. And she told her husband, Job, that, and Job looked at her and said, woman, you speak as a foolish woman. He said, naked I came in and naked I'm going out. Amen. See, that's the way we got to be, amen. We got to stand for God even up against, amen, the people that we love when they're wrong, amen. When they speak things of doubt, when they speak things that's not of God, when they speak things of unrighteousness and of unholiness, amen, we got to keep that stand. Amen. And let them know that God is first. That's why you got to love God more than you love anything else. He even told Peter. Peter said, do you love me more than these? These, what are these in your life? What do you love more than God? He said, you can't love God and mammon too. You can't serve two masters. He said, you're going to love one or hate the other. So he said, I wish you'd be what? Hot or cold. He said, because if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you right out of my mouth. God even letting us know, amen, be one or the other. You can't be both, amen. Bitter sweet water can't come out of the same fount. Blessing and cursing can't come out of the same mouth. That's what God is telling us, amen. And see, we want to bless, amen, you know, God with our mouth and curse men inward in our heart. And he said that. He said, you know what God told the people? He said, you know, he said, you're speaking with your lips, but your heart is far from me. And that's where a lot of people is. They speak God out of their mouth, but their heart is far from God. Because when it comes to doing what's right, when it's come to doing what's right with their money, when it's come to doing what's right in the house of God, when it's come to doing what's right to be obedient to the word of God, amen, they abandon it. They don't want to have nothing to do with it. They want to pervert the word of God. They want to change the word of God so it can fit themselves, so they can feel comfortable when they sin, so they can feel comfortable when they disobedient, when they disobeying God's word. That's what people do. Oh, yeah, they'll pervert that word. They'll turn that word to fit themselves because they don't want to do right. Because now they in sin. Now the shoe is on their foot, and now they got to wear it. So in order to make the shoe not tight on their foot, not for it to hurt, they want to take it off. They want somebody else to wear the shoe. They want it to fit someone else, amen. And that's the reason why we as the people of God, we got to accept, amen, our wrongdoing. We got to accept, amen, the righteousness of God. In the book of Timothy already told us that we live in perilous times. What people don't want to do is sound doctrine. And he but teaches what itches ears. And they listen to old wise tales and fables. That's the way people do it nowadays. They don't want the truth. They don't want to do a soundness. They don't want the realness of God. They want to flip-flop. They flip-flop over here when they don't like something the preacher said, or when the preacher did this, or somebody in the congregation that said that, or when the word be that hit them the wrong way, or rubbed them the wrong way. They want to flip-flop. And see, that's what people do. They jump over in this ministry, talk about that preacher. They jump over and fall in that preacher. Now, let me tell you something. You're talking about God himself, because that's not the preacher's word or the pastor's word or the bishop or the apostle's word or the doctor's word. It's God's word. And we get mad at the messengers when God is the message. He's the one. This is his word. And we'll get mad at flip-flop. We'll stop coming to church. Oh, I ain't like what we're saying. I got to find me somewhere else to go. Keep on finding somewhere else to go. The Bible said that they're going to say, Christ over here, don't go. He said they're going to run over there and say, Christ down here, don't go. Because everybody ain't preaching Christ. You can go where you want to, but everybody's not preaching Christ. Because the Bible said that many what? False prophets are rising up, and they are deceiving many. He also said that he was going to allow strong delusions. I mean, things that are going to seem like it's real, but they're not real. And he said that a lot of them, because of the strong illusions that he's going to allow, amen, the people going to believe a lie before they believe the truth. And that's what's going on right now. People are believing a lie before they believe the truth. They believe what somebody said or something that they heard. You don't even know whether it's true or not, but because somebody told you. The Bible says those are damnable hearsays. You're going by hearsays that's damning your soul, and you don't even know whether they're true or not. People say stuff about people all the time. It doesn't mean it's true. Like I tell people in our congregation, let every man, like the word says, let every man be a liar and let God be true. What people say about you should be a lie if it's something bad. But the word of God and you should be true. You stay true to the God that sent you. You stay true to what God told you to do. You stay true to what God said to you. Amen. And people are going to lie. The Bible said, all that live God, he's going to suffer persecution. He said, to reign with him, you're going to suffer with him. So God already let us know we're going to go through great persecution. He already let us know that people are going to try to kill us. The Bible said we count it as what? As sheep for the slaughter all day long. Amen. Somebody always want to put their mouth on God's people. They gnashing on them with their teeth. They got their mouth on them. He said they eat my people, you know, like they eat bread. You try to chew them up and think you going to swallow, spit them out. Uh-uh, God ain't going to have it. God see all those. Amen. And he said in the 37th Psalm, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be envious of those who prosper in their own way. For they're going to be cut down and withered like the green grass and the herb of the field. Oh, yes, that day is coming. God said he see that day. Amen. It's coming. You ain't even going to be remembered. You're going to be cut down so bad. You're not going to be remembered. Amen. First God's going to cut you down. You're not going to prosper. Amen. And see, remember the Bible says, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that rise up against thee, thou shall condemn. For this is the heritage for my people. You putting your mouth on God's people like you eating bread for naught, and God's not going to have it. He see what you're doing because you want to go around and live in any kind of way, unholy, unthankful, blasphemous, unrighteous. Amen. And you think God is going to honor you and he's going to bless you? So you feel like because God has not dealt with you right now, that nothing's going to happen. But you know what? God said he's going to deal with you. Your day comes. See, one thing about God, he's long-suffering. He's patient. He's waiting on you to repent. Amen. But the Bible says the children of disobedience, they bring the wrath of God upon them. When you disobedient, you bring God's wrath, his judgment on you. Amen. And he also said, touch not my anointed. Let me tell you something. You ain't got to hit somebody to touch his anointing. He said, you know what? He got anointed people out here. And he said, and do my prophets no harm. He said, what you're doing to them, you're doing unto me. Better let a millstone be around your neck and you be thrown into the depths of the sea than to defend one of my least ones. Defend one of my least ones. Let me tell you something. When you sit up there and touch God's people with your mouth, you talk about them, you lie on them, you get with other people and tear them down, amen. But let me tell you, know what the Bible said? He said that what you're doing to them, you're doing it unto me. He said a millstone is better than a millstone be around your neck. A millstone is something that is like a heavy thing that they used to have on ships to hold a ship down to keep it from moving. And so you better be careful what you say. Amen. Because when you touch your mouth and put your mouth on God's people, I'm talking about his real people, his righteous people, his anointed people, his holy people, a people that's called by his name, amen, man, a people that humble themselves under the mighty hand of God to be exalted. Hey, man, let me tell you something. He said, he gonna deal with you. So don't thank God and forgot because ain't nothing happened to you yet. Because God is patient, God is kind, God is love. And he give everybody a chance, amen, to repent. But remember, it's going to be a time, amen, that God's going to get tired. And he said a lot of them, he said they reprobate, they ever learned it, but never come into the knowledge of truth. To every good work, they reprobated him. You got some people, God, that dealt with you so much, you have not changed. You will end up with a reprobated mind, and you'll think that you're right. Amen. Nobody can tell you nothing. You're not never wrong with nothing. You know everything. And God let me know, amen, that you are reprobate when you do that. You're never coming into the knowledge of the truth, and you're reprobate in every good work. Everything that's good, amen, you got something to go against it. You don't like it. You don't think it's right. It's not your way. It's not your word. It's God's word. And remember, God said, your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts is not my thoughts. I can do anything above and abundantly that you even ask or think. We can't even think the way God wants us, amen. Get nowhere near it, amen. We cannot do anything abundantly above, amen, God. Because why? He is God. And a servant is not greater than his Lord. Amen. And you know, that's what happened to Satan. He thought that he knew more than God. He thought he could exalt himself over God. That's why God said he resists the proud and give grace to the humble. See, God wants us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God so he can exalt us. That means so he can lift us up, so he can exalt us. Amen. Right, but we want to, you know everything. We want to think, you know, it's our way or no way. You know, we don't want to do it God's way. Amen. We don't want to humble ourselves. We don't want to get things right. We don't admit when we're wrong. And that's the way a lot of us doing. We don't want to admit it. And then when somebody sees it in us, we get upset. We get angry. And then we go talk about them, and we try to turn others against them. The Bible said, don't be a partaker of another man's sin. Why are you mad at this person? Because they mad at them. They ain't getting nothing to you. You ain't got nothing to do with it. You're partaking of their sin. They sit up there talking about the person, and you talking about a woman. You don't even know whether it's true or not. You're partaking of their sin. We got to be careful, saints, because the devil is hemming us up. The Bible says no devices of the devil, for he's cunning and crafty, and he has devices. You got to know him. You got to see him who he is. You need to call him out and say, I see what you're doing, Satan. And you will not tempt me. Remember, the Bible said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. It is written, get his behind me. You got to put Satan in his place. You have the authority to walk all over him. God told you to bruise him, amen. He gave you the authority, amen, to walk over him. You are over him, amen. He is not over you. He does not rule you, amen. You're supposed to rule him. Put him in his place, amen, because great is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You're more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ that loves you. Satan is a defeated foe, amen. Glory be to God. We are victorious people, amen. We're supposed to be rich and blessed and walking in the fullness of God. That means walking in every authority, every man. He said every place that you tread your feet upon, thou shalt possess the land. We're supposed to be possessing things, amen. Glory be to God. We're supposed to be over everything, amen. Everything in the seas, everything in the air, the dominions, everything in the field, amen. In the land, amen. God, amen. Gave us, amen, dominion over it, amen. But we wanted to have dominion over us, amen. We don't glorify God, amen. You know, we give the enemy too much glory. The enemy don't have no more power than you give him, amen. We don't supposed to surrender to the enemy. You know, we surrender to him. We supposed to surrender to God. To God be the glory for the things he has done. Amen. So God letting us know, amen, that, you know, we're supposed to count our joy when we fall into down with temptation, for knowing that this is a trying of our faith, and faith work of patience. God is trying to bring forth some patience in our life, letting us be able to wait on him and trust him, amen. And we begin to wait on God and trust God and don't doubt him, amen, God's going to surely bring you out, amen. He said no good thing will he withhold from them that walk upright. God's going to bless you. It's a time for all things. It might not be time for you to be blessed right now. It might be time for, amen, for you, amen, to start planting. Then you'll start reaping. you reap what you sow. If you sow bountifully, you'll be blessed bountifully. If you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. That means if you sow little, you get little back. And if you sow much, you get much back. And as I told the people the weekend before, I said, stop asking God for stuff if you don't want to be a blessing. He said, too much is given, much is required. The more that you ask from God, the more he's going to require from you. You don't want to be a blessing. You don't want to give. You don't want to do right. Then stop asking God for stuff. Because he blessed you to be a blessing. He says, more blessed to give than to receive. He said, we're supposed to be lenders and not borrowers. But we got our hands out all the time as being saints. We stingy with the church, but when it comes to the world, we're going to spend with the world. We're spending so they can have big Walmarts and food lines and mega McDonald's all over the world and Burger King's and Kmart's and all these things. But when it comes to God, amen, we don't want to be a blessing. We prosper in the world instead of prospering God. And you wonder why the world got more than God got. Well, they really don't. But the reason why they've given, the people are giving more to them than they are to God. Because God really, everything is his anyway. We just being stingy with God. We think we're being stingy with them, but we being stingy with God. Quit asking him for stuff if you don't want to do right, if you don't want to give. Because the more you ask him for, the more he's going to want you to give and require of you. So just don't ask him for nothing. Read your word if you think I'm not lined up with it. Read it. It'll tell you that. Much is given, much is required. That's why when he told the Samaritan guy, he said, I did everything God I was supposed to do. He said, I honored my mother and father and everything. I kept everything from my youth up. God told him, said, go and sell your goods, all that you have, and give to the poor. Come and follow me. He went away sorrowful. He couldn't do that. He didn't want to depart with his substance. He didn't want to depart with his money. And that's what a lot of people's problem is. They don't want to depart with their money. How can God save you and not save your pocketbook? I don't understand that. God saved you, but you don't have a heart to give and to do, especially when your church is bleeding. He told us in the book of Haggai, he said, you let my house lack while you build your house up. He's going to blow on you. You ain't going to know what happened to it. He's going to blow on you. And that's what he's doing to some of us. He's going to blow on you. You ain't going to let his house lie waste and build your house up. Go to Haggai, H-A-G-G-A-I, and ask him about it. He's going to say, I thought I had this. It's been blown on. You didn't do what God told you to do. You're disobedient. You think God don't see you, but God see everything. God don't when you let me tell you one thing about God, God gave. The Bible John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. But who shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You don't want to even give of your substance. You don't want to give when you get an increase. You'll go hide with it. You'll go and spend it, then come back to the church broke and don't have nothing for your ministry. I'm going to tell you, God, I want a job, and Lord, you bless me with a job so I can do this and do that and help the church, and they get it, you don't see them no more. Now, I'm saying, God, if you bless me, I'm going to bless the church. I'm going to be obedient to the church and do what I'm supposed to do and help the church. Then you don't see them no more. God see you. He knew what you was going to do for you, did it anyway. But he allowed to give you a chance just to let you see what you was going to do because he knows the heart. He made it. He knows it. Bless you. We ask y'all to come to World of Faith Outreach Ministry, 6370 Stokes Ferry Road. Amen. Sunday school is 10 a.m. Worship 11 a.m. Also, the bishop is out there. Amen. At American Legion Post, he's selling chicken, fish, hamburgers, and hot dogs. Amen. We'll be selling all day long, starting at 11 a.m. today. And he's also selling dresses for $10. Amen. We ask you to come out and be a blessing. Amen. And it's called Finger Licking. It's out there at the American Legion Post. Some of you know it as the Hut. Amen. He's out there selling food. Amen. Remember, we have barbecue chicken. Amen. And chicken dip. Amen. Fish. Amen. Croakers. Amen. Also, I remember I told you, we have the hamburgers and the hot dogs. So we ask y'all to come out there. Also, I'll be speaking June 11th in Statesville, North Carolina, at Apostle Young, T. Ross Young Church.
Amen. We ask y'all to come at 3 p.m. We also have some more activities. Amen. We'll be addressing them. Tuesday night Bible study at 7:15. Amen. On Tuesday. Amen. And also, we want you to know, amen, that God is good. And let me tell you something. His love is everlasting. Amen. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. And remember, amen, I love you, and you can't do nothing about it.